adapters, cause the Lord don't work that way.
Okay. Okay. Well, happy Pride Month, everybody. And that was Judy Fiel, who was right here in Astoria. Thank you, Margaret, a couple of years back. Hardware store from Nobody Else's Dream. And this is Arts Live and Local on your favorite KMUN Coast Community Radio station. This is Carol, and I'm delighted to be here on this wet day. I'm sorry about that because Shinrin Yoku is scheduled for today, 2 to 5, up at the parking lot below the arts building. Maybe you can go over and see if it's really happening. It's a walk through the woods and all kinds of delightful artwork. That's right here in Astoria. So I want to send out some birthday wishes to some good friends of ours, locals. Dinah, happy birthday, Dinah. She'll be singing tonight at the North Coast Chorale. And Jamie, that would be Dinah Urell, of course, Jamie Boyd. Hey, Jamie, with Ruthie. And Renee. Those are the locals. I'm sure there are lots more that I just didn't get that far in my calendar. And I also want to send out loving remembrances of Anne Goldin. This was her birthday. And my father, 110 years old today. And then alive and well, may he live bis ohne in Svansig, my brother Bob, coming up on Sunday. So happy birthday to you if you have a birthday anytime around now or perhaps any time period. Also want to send out healing wishes to Rosie's family and friends. My good friend Rosie left us. We were giving her shout-outs every week, but wasn't to be. And to Adrian Nell and the Armstrongs in Durban, South Africa. Quite a bit further. And then healing wishes here and now to Jan N, Sue Z, Shanti, and to all of us for healing of body, mind, spirit, and heart. And, I forgot to mention, Anne Frank's birthday is right about now, too. Another remembrance. So, folks, as you well know, and I well know, best way to heal is through the arts. And the arts take many forms. We already wished everybody a happy Pride Week or month. But this weekend, right here in Astoria, there's a big celebration. And Dita DeAngelis, the fabulous, is here to tell us about it. Hi, Dita.
Woo-hoo! I'm here.
So it's the Lower Columbia Q Center is putting on the Astoria Pride. And you are the chairperson, is that right?
I am the sole chair. They let me practice for a few years so they could trust me, and now I'm in charge.
Oh, boy. All right. So tell us what's happening.
Well, most of the stuff is happening. In fact, all of it is happening down at the historic Barbie Maritime Center, the train station at the east end of the Maritime parking lot down there.
Mm-hmm.
And so tonight we're down there getting ready for our reception. And that's the only ticketed event. Four tickets away from being sold out.
Ooh.
So now's the time.
So how does somebody,
proud of that.
If somebody hears you right now and says, oh, my God,
right.
How do they grab those tickets?
Okay, go to our Pride page on Facebook and then go to the merch section, and you can purchase those on Square. So the easiest way is to go down to the event, actually, and push the event, and we'll take you straight to where you can buy tickets on Square.
Okay.
And then they will be waiting at will call at the front door.
Okay. So are you limited in numbers because of
yes,
the,
we are.
You are?
Very much so. Yes. Yeah. We managed to get it up to 50%, thank goodness, as of last Friday. So we put a bunch of tickets on sale, and they went ahead, and most of them have sold out. So we're pretty happy. We have 50% attendance in there, and that little building holds about 300 people. So
okay.
We're about 120 people, so we're going to have a nice party.
Fantastic. Excellent.
Yep.
Excellent.
Yep.
No, I'm not
7 to 10 this evening.
Not surprised, but that's wonderful that people jumped at the chance to
they absolutely
celebrate
did.
Together.
Yes.
So that was a ticketed event, but you said that was the only one. What else is happening?
Correct. After that this evening and then tomorrow, starting down at the same place, right behind in the big lot where we usually have our Astoria Pride Festival, we have a big string around it, and we got the same big stage. And for lack of being able to get a lot of entertainment to come because of COVID, we ended up getting three different acts.
Ooh, hold on. Yeah, we're having some static here.
Are we okay?
Not sure. Maybe it may be the rain. I'm not sure. Oops.
It may be the rain.
Maybe. Let's go ahead and keep talking, see what happens.
Okay. Okay, Don. So tomorrow, starting at 2 until 7 o'clock, actually we have bands going on down at our big festival spot right behind the lot there. And we're going to have Fort George beer, we actually have Bowie beer tent, and we have been allowed to do Absolut vodka also. And we don't have to do a small beer garden like we usually do. We've been able to perimeter off the entire grounds to create social distancing so you can walk around the whole grounds with the drink in your hand. So that really frees us up quite a bit.
Okay, I'm going to see. Dita, is there some way that you can walk around and maybe there's a better place for you with your phone? Yeah. Nevada thinks it might be on your end, so let's
get it. Let me see. Oh, there we go.
Oops.
Take it off speakerphone.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's on my end, darling.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, let's get that info out there anyway. So so now, are you bringing the sunshine? Is that how we're going to do this?
Well, I made a phone call, and I didn't get a voicemail back yet. So we're going to do our best to get the wind blowing a little bit and keep this moving. I'm assuming that tonight's going to be probably one of the wettest ones. And then tomorrow, I have to insist that we don't have the booth. It's not going to be as cushy as it usually is.
Mm-hmm.
Even ordering stuff from the city, like the big tent we get in the middle with the chairs, isn't there because they didn't have any manpower to bring it down at the time when we had to order it.
Right.
So we're kind of dealing with what we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So bring your blanket, bring your tarp, pretty much bring something to make yourself a little bit comfortable. I'm kind of counting on people not being able to see each other for the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
It will be so wrapped up in conversation that we won't even notice.
And besides, we're Pacific Northwesters. We should know.
Exactly. We can do this.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
I think you're finally getting out of the house.
So this is Saturday from 2 to 7. And
correct.
I understand that Sparrow Dance Company is going to be there. Is that?
Yes, they are. We're really excited about that. They also did a spot in our drive-in movie.
So
if you come to the drive-in that night, they've got a couple acts that are in our professionally made movie that we're going to be showing that night.
And where is that happening?
At the same spot. So
what we did
was we took the big stage that we usually get, and I've been finagling with the stage people to make me a screen.
Oh, my.
And so they've got a big tarp that they've rigged up to drop down in front of the stage. And so we'll be able to park cars around there.
Oh,
and
wow.
The fabulous Jeff Daly has loaned me his projection system.
That's wonderful.
And so we'll be able to project that. We're going to go practice tonight at dark.
Wow.
And make sure it's all copacetic. If you don't have a car, as you know, Jeff Daly puts it over your car radio. If you don't have a car, bring your chair, come and sit next to it, because I have a small PA. I've asked the sound guy to to actually leave his stuff behind so we can possibly use that for the movie also. So wow. Don't worry. Also, you can pull up the same a radio station on your phone if you have to, if you don't have a car radio. So you can come and enjoy the drive-in at the same time. But that starts at 9 o'clock on Saturday, and that'll go until 12 a.m., and we'll start the movie at dark, which is about 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And we do ask that you go past City Lumber, and there's a little street past City Lumber that you go down behind the lot back there and enter from behind. So
right.
We'll have signs out there as you come down Main Street to kind of point you down past City Lumber and enter from the back of that lot. Come down that little hill, and then we'll park you, and it'll be first come, first serve starting at 9 o'clock.
Okay, now that street you're talking about is parallel to the river, correct?
It's actually, yes, parallel to the river. It goes towards the river, down past the side of City Lumber. Yep.
Oh.
Not
oh.
parallel.
Perpendicular.
By north, south, east, and west.
It goes
north.
Yeah.
So you're going to be traveling east to 22nd and then take a left onto that little street, and you'll be going north down to the back of the Big Barbie lot.
Okay.
So
okay.
We'll have signs.
Wow. I'm thinking that, it's right near the co-op. And the co-op turnoff is 23rd, and the one you're talking about is 22nd, I believe.
Right.
So for people
who remember where Napa used to be, it's that little road that kind of took you to Napa back there.
Yeah.
Yes.
So just get there and fiddle around, and you will find it.
There'll be
signage.
We'll be on corners. We'll be working corners and getting you to the right spot. Trust me on that.
I do. I trust you on anything. Dita, if you want something done well, call Dita. So,
bless your heart.
Yeah,
thank
it's
so
true.
Much.
It's true. I've watched you all the way since you came, so it's wonderful.
Thank you.
And is Skamakaway Swamp Opera going to be performing on Saturday? Is that
absolutely
true?
I'm excited about that.
Okay.
They're going to be starting at 2:30 to 3:30. They're the first act.
Okay.
And then the Sparrow is going to come on at 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
Sparrow Dance Company.
Mm-hmm.
And then 5:30 to 6:30 are the Proud Boys, which we've imported from Portland.
No, and not the Proud.
Not the Proud Boys. I'm sorry. The
Turnback Boys.
Turnback Boys.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Now,
yes.
we knew you didn't mean the Proud Boys.
I know.
I don't think.
What's going on with me today?
Well, because, I never even thought of it. We're celebrating Pride, but we're not. We know that those people who call themselves Proud Boys are not.
That's right.
So
that's right.
This is the Turnback Boys. Good.
Yes, that's the Turnback Boys.
Good for them.
They're quite famous all the way down to Manzanita and such, and they're bringing quite a crowd, I believe, from Portland.
Cool.
And those of you out there that need a American Sign Language translator for anything, they supply that, and so that's going to be available
to you.
Come on down and enjoy with us.
Lovely, lovely.
Yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So that takes care of Saturday. It's 2 to 7, and then a little bit of a break, and then 9 to midnight is the drive-in.
Correct.
And, that's going to be fun, too. Who did the film? What kind of
Actually, I did. I went around and taped people. I got them to let us into the Liberty.
Oh,
we filmed in the Liberty.
Wow.
And then we ran into a couple snafus here and there and found a very brilliant filmmaker in Portland to help us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's helped us put together a very professional movie for us. And it's really cool to see us locals put in that light.
I'm sure.
I really hope you guys come and enjoy.
Wonderful.
So.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And then something's happening on Sunday as well.
Well, I do want to mention one more thing on Saturday.
Oh, more.
Because usually the kids are so entertained with the parade we usually have on Saturday,
yes.
And it ends up down in front of the stage, and they just love the two-hour drag show that usually Poison Waters brings.
Right.
And we wanted to give back to the kids just a little bit, too, because they're going to be left out of some of this.
Mm-hmm.
But we're having a Pride treasure hunt, and that's going to be going on downtown. Starting the same time that artwork is going on, from noon to 5,
mm-hmm.
and about 16 different businesses downtown. The first clue is in our Pride guide of where to go, and you start there, and then you'll get another clue and go on to the next spot, And then it culminates and ends down at our Q Center, and there's some grand prizes for those of you that get done first. And then some hot dogs and stuff going on down at our Q Center.
Wonderful.
And so that's from 12
okay.
to 5.
A couple of questions. Where is the Pride Guide for the clues? And
Right now the Pride Guide is inside the Hip Fish.
Oh, okay.
And the Pride Guide is also in various places downtown.
Okay.
So we've had 20,000 copies
go out.
Gosh. So if you didn't get it in your Daily Historian, there's several other newspapers that it went in, and there's several places, the little stores and stuff have
right.
a Pride Guide.
Okay. Yep. And the second okay. thing is tell folks where the Q Center is these days.
Yes, our brand new office is 171 West Bond. And it's right down there by Pig and Pancake. And it's
okay.
a great little place right on the corner there next to the bank.
Okay.
Yeah, we
okay.
got our own office.
Wow. This
yep.
is quite a celebration. And
it is.
It's wonderful that you're able to do it. And the timing is, it was pretty
well,
close.
I'm taking full credit for the theme that we came up with, which is here, there, and everywhere. And there was just a few of us that were willing to put so much time and energy into this, practically 7 months of planning, into something that could happen, maybe not happen.
Right.
Maybe it would happen. We really didn't know if it was even going to happen.
Right.
And so, you know, the ideal thing was here. We get our entertainment from here. We can do this here, and everything goes smoothly. Otherwise, we'd have to do like last year and do something where we import entertainment, for instance, and do just the drive-in movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then the everywhere came in to where, well, maybe we just have to reach out and get, you know, somebody to contribute so we can have some kind of entertainment. So
mm-hmm.
we've actually been able to do all three of those because I used our local entertainment. I've used Entertainment Poison Waters has come forward and given me a couple videos from their Pride celebrations from last year when they were in lockup. And also we've gotten, surprise, surprise, are you ready? Judy Collins is coming to do a cameo for our drive-in movie.
She's in the movie.
Yes, she does
now,
about a two-minute cameo thanking everybody for coming and has given us permission to use her music.
And are you going to tell us how that came about?
We contacted her. She grew up in Clatskanie, and she was nice enough to agree to it and excited that we were having a constant Pride celebration here in her own home turf.
That is fabulous. Holy
cow. What a
cow.
Wonderful woman. Yes.
Yes, and a great singer and inspiration.
Absolutely.
Well,
yes.
Just like Dita DeAngelis, the fabulous, I forgot to mention the thing that most of us knew about her besides her organizational power is her vocal power. She is an amazing vocalist. So
yep.
I don't know whether you're going to be singing at all this weekend, but we can look forward to it in the future, if not now.
Thank you.
Thank
yes,
you. Thank you
Absolutely.
So much. This is terrific. Okay, folks.
I have one more thing.
Oh.
I got one more thing, Carol. I got another secret to reveal.
Oh, my God.
Well, they're not letting us have a Pride parade. So on Sunday, we just had to let the cat out of the bag. We had to wait till the end of it so that the city wouldn't get all mad at us. We're going to follow all rules as far as driving goes and have a drive-through car parade. We're going to decorate our cars at the Q Center on Sunday at 11 a.m. That's 171 West Bond. We're going to line up there at about noon. We're going to drive through town and make a big old ruckus with our horns. And then we're going to end up at our barbecue down back at the historic Barbie Center down at 1 p.m.
Holy cow.
How's that sound?
That is fantastic. Now, can anybody take part? Can anybody show
Absolutely.
Up at the Q Center
yes.
and decorate the cars?
Absolutely.
And follow
the cars. And for those of you out there with your businesses and such and doing the Pride or doing the Sunday market, be ready for a lot of noise happening about 12:15 or so.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about Sunday market.
You're
crossing
right.
the
yep.
streets. Holy cow.
Yep.
Well, this is rich. This is wonderful.
Is.
So I'm just going to remind folks that the Pride Guide, it won't list everything because some of these surprises couldn't be listed in advance. But you can get a feeling for most things that are going on. And then just, well, maybe you got those last tickets. But if not, wish everybody a good time tonight at the Pride reception. And
thank
then tomorrow, 2 to 7, outside the Barbies Maritime Center. And then again at 9 to midnight, turns into a drive-in. I just love the way this, the same space. It's kind of like, now you see it, now you see something else. And
that's
then
right.
With all kinds of delightful folks in the film, as well as Judy Collins, and performing in the afternoon. And then on Sunday, 11 o'clock at the Q Center, decorate your car and join it, or just show up at the Barbie Center for a family barbecue at 1 o'clock. Yes?
Perfect.
Okay.
Just so wonderful.
And
perfect.
Where is the, who's doing the cooking at the barbecue?
Actually, Kit Ketchum with the Pacific Unitarian Universalist Fellowship has gotten her congregation to come down, and they're going to be doing the food for us.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful. So this is...
And I must mention, too, she's doing a Zoom service at 11 o'clock, and that'll be posted on our Pride Pride Facebook page, too.
Lovely.
Okay?
It's truly a community event. Thank you so much, Dita. Have a wonderful weekend. And
all right.
I look forward to seeing you in person as soon as possible.
Yes, you will.
Okay.
Thank you, Carol. Happy Pride, everybody.
Happy Pride. Take care.
All right.
All right. Folks, whew, there was a lot of new stuff for me, too. It sounds like a fabulous weekend. This is KMUN Community Radio and Arts Live and Local. Carol, your host. That was Dita DeAngelis, the Astoria Pride chairperson. We've got some music for you from one of our almost hometown people, Catherine Clare and the Lasses, with a, this was just released a couple of weeks ago. It was recorded a few years ago, but it was just released. Follow the Heron.
Oh, the back of the winter has broken, and the light lingers long by the door. And the seeds of the summer have spoken in garlands that bloom on the shore. By night and day we'll sport and we'll play in the light as the dawn dances over the bay. Sleep draws the breath of the morning away, and we'll follow the heron home. In darkness we cradle our sorrow, and we stoke all our fires with fear. Now these bones that lie empty and hollow are ready for gladness and cheer. By night and day we'll sport and we'll play in the light as the dawn dances over the bay. Sleep draws the breath of the morning away, and we'll follow the heron home. Sounds of your home. As the north wind delivers its sermon of ice and salt water and stone. By night and day we'll sport and we'll play and the dawn dances over the bay. Sleep draws the breath of the morning away. I will follow the heron home. By night and day we'll sport and we'll play and delight as the dawn dances over the bay. Sleep draws the breath of the morning away, and we'll follow the heron home. And we'll follow the heron home.
Oh, yeah. Follow the heron home. Whoa. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Catherine Clare and the Lasses. And I'm going to send that one all the way to Squamish. Well, first to Brownsmead with the blue heron that lives in my field, and then to Squamish, where my friend Carol and I looked out the window and couldn't figure out what that bird was. It was squatting. So we took a picture and sent it to our expert, Susan, and she said, oh, yeah, it's a heron. So that goes to Squamish, to Omakaw, and to Sydney and Robin, Tessa and Sev, and all the family. And speaking of birds, that was just perfect. Hey, Stan. Hello, Stan Peterson. Did you get to hear that song?
I heard the tail end of it. It sounded beautiful.
Yes, and I didn't realize until I did that it was perfect for you, because my next guest is Stan Peterson, who is an artist who's opening his second solo show at Imogen Gallery. Is that right? This is your second solo?
Yeah, that's correct. Solo? Yeah.
Imogen Gallery in Astoria on 11th and Marine Drive. This is Art Walk Weekend. And Stan,
I'm so happy that that there'll be an actual opening and a chance to visit with people and tell stories about the work. That's something that was really missing during COVID.
Yes.
And so very happy to be there tomorrow.
So, Stan, where do you live?
I live in Portland at the moment. I've been back in Portland for about 7 years. I'm from this area. I've lived all over Oregon, but a job took me to the San Francisco Bay Area in the early 80s, where I was a teacher at an art center for adults with disabilities, because I have a great interest in self-taught art. So I was down there for 35 years, and then I went to Bali and worked with a carver and realized I wanted to just carve all the time. So I had to get out of the Bay Area and move back to Portland.
Perfect. Perfect for us. And so here you are. And where did that interest come from?
Well, my grandfather was joined the Forest Service in the very early days. And he was the son of a cabinet maker back in Pennsylvania. He went to Yale, got a degree in forestry. And that brought him out to the West Coast. And he had a wonderful wood shop. And so as a child, I spent a lot of time with my grandfather. He didn't carve or whittle, but he made all sorts of things out of wood. Carving came about and whittling when I was working as a postal carrier. And I realized that I had some time on my lunch hours, and then on the little bit of time I had off, I just started carving figures and scenes that I saw on my mail routes and in Southeast Portland.
So,
and that evolved into my first solo show with William Jameson in Portland, who had a gallery at that point in time called the Folk Craft Gallery.
Uh-huh.
And that first show was called Carved and Painted Figures in Small Worlds. And that still has a lot to do with what I do.
Okay, two things. First, I do want you to read your artist statement, because I read it and was totally charmed. It felt like a prose poem to me. And But first, I just wanted to ask you, you told us where the carving and the working whittling came from. What about the interest in nature and birds?
Well, I think growing up in Oregon, you know, we're just surrounded by incredible nature all the time. And my family always did camping and, you know, fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I got to be older, you know, I started backpacking and spending a lot of time out in the wilderness. Birds have just always been there. I, you know, part of my interest maybe in special ed was that I grew up with an aunt that had cerebral palsy that was confined to her bedroom at my grandparents' house. And she had this great fascination with birds. And they built that house with windows all around her room. And every Christmas, she received books on birds. And so at very early on, there I was pushing her in a wheelchair, but we also had this communication about looking out the window and looking at the birds.
Lovely, lovely. Okay, I'm going to ask you to read your artist statement. But
sure.
Before you do that, one more thing. I want to, if you don't mind, I want to dedicate this portion of my show to my father, who, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I am celebrating. He was born 110 years ago today, and he was an avid whittler. I have some of his work, birds, yes, some other things too. And and as I mentioned to you, he would have loved your work. So thanks for letting me dedicate you to my family. Okay.
Well, I love that continuity, Carol, and that really touches me.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be a writer and realized that I really didn't have the talent, but I still like to write. And my sculptures really are quite narrative and always have stories attached. So I jotted this down at a coffee shop and kind of left it as it was. It's called Out on a Limb. Flight is often on my mind. I'm walking down a path. Small birds, probably sparrows, are scattered ahead, pecking at the ground. As I get closer, they hop and scuttle a few feet further. We continue until too close, they fly off in different directions. If walking softly early or at dusk, a rabbit might appear, grazing on verdant growth, I stop. Rabbit freezes, other than chewing. Watching with one large eye, I blink and see the tip of the tail disappear into the side brush. Senses are now on full alert. That sound of woodpecker chiseling into deep wood for grubs? Now I'm taking the rabbit stance. Freeze. Listen, look. Often it's a downy. If extremely fortunate, it could be affiliated with a mane of scarlet. I call my studio the Laughing Woodpecker. We both share compulsive behaviors with wood, but I lace mine with sly humor. Other times, walking by water, maybe, just maybe, I'll see a kingfisher, ever watchful, and then the dive. It's the accuracy of the dive which matters most. When carving the semblance of gestures, it's the skill with a knife, chisels, and hand saws that matter. Sometimes I imagine walking with invisible lines connected to all the birds I see. If only they could lift me off the ground. I rely on being in my art zone to do that. That's the little statement.
Wow. I love it. That's beautiful.
So,
it's also very so graphic. That I close my eyes and I can feel myself lifting off the ground with the birds all attached.
Well, many years ago I did a piece called The Poet and the Sparrow, and it's a man walking holding a book with a leash attached to a sparrow that's taking off, a large sparrow taking off ahead of him. I don't know where that piece is now, but I always think of that when I see, a trail full of birds.
Uh-huh. Well, you've given me a new way on my walks in Brownsmead because we are full of birds of all kinds. And, some of them darting across, and there's a couple of crows there, too, which are quite a bit larger.
Well, you know, You know, the last show I had 2 years ago at Imogen, I carved a lot of pelicans in that show. Mm. And I lived on the coast many years ago down in Newport in Lincoln City, and I teach at Sitka there at Otis. So I'm down that way, and I'm always looking for brown pelicans because they have this kind of primeval quality, and they're so graceful when they fly over the waves. But this show at Imogen has more kingfishers and woodpeckers in it than I don't think there's any. Oh, there's a couple of pelicans in this one, but I've been seeing, you know, like I'm always looking for kingfishers, and they're just so elusive. It's hard to find them.
Do you actually go out bird watching or bird counting?
I don't do bird counting, but I do bird watching, and I am sort of an amateur birder, but mm-hmm. It's helpful to be with others that are better at identification. For me, it's you know, the poetry, the fact of the metaphors of birds passing through time, and I just love flight, you know.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's been wonderful now that some restrictions have lifted on air travel. I'm going to be able to, you know, get back up in the air occasionally.
Wait a minute. That's a little different.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah.
Very controlled.
And confined. You know,
yes.
I'm picturing you flying behind this bird, you know, that's on the leash rather than in a institute or of an airplane. So,
well, Carol, if I'm in the airplane, I'm probably going to be sketching myself flying with that bird.
Okay. Saving grace. So tell us about the wood sculptures that we'll see at this show, which is opening tomorrow evening at Imogen Gallery on 11th and Marine Drive in Astoria.
Sure. Let's start with, there's a piece in there called Guided Flight, and it's a woman standing in a boat. It appears that there's golden water in the boat. She has a dress on, and she has a kingfisher on her head, and she's wearing a blindfold. Her skin tones are tend to go towards a light pale blue. It's like a dream. And there's a lot of boats in this show, and that piece that I'm talking about is an interesting piece because it sort of references some qualities of Egyptian art. The kind of frontal standing figure,
mm-hmm.
The use of the boat as a going between two worlds,
mm-hmm.
An afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
It evolved. You know, I didn't know that that's what was going to happen. I just knew I wanted to do a figure that had a bird on its head, and
mm-hmm.
that came along.
Is that how a lot of your work does happen? It evolves, or do you usually go into it with something in mind?
Well, you know, because the way I work with wood is both additive and subtractive, because I use these quick-set glues, so I can add a piece,
mm-hmm.
carve it away, add another piece, and change my mind a lot. It isn't,
nice.
Isn't like just finding the, like stone carving, like just finding the image in there and then releasing it. But for me, it's more like working with clay, but I like the resistance of wood when I'm carving it.
Do you also, did I read that you also have paintings in this show?
Yeah.
What's that about?
I'm getting back to painting and just loving the idea that can tell more elaborate stories, and with the painting process, the imagery can change as in the process of doing the painting. There's a painting in the show called Picnic that has some swans in a sort of like an estuary by the ocean. There's a dog looking at the swans, making eye contact, and two women are swimming in the bay. There's a picnic spread out on the sand next to the dog that has sandwiches and a picnic basket. And then across the water, there's there's some standing white horses that seem like a mirage in the distance. Mm.
So wait a second.
That would be difficult to do in a sculpture.
Yes, it would. Yeah. But what about those sandwiches? Does the dog really not eat them?
The dog is so fascinated by those swans. It's like there's a communication going on. And he'll probably eat the sandwiches as soon as the swans pass.
Okay. We're about out of time, Stan. It's delightful talking to you. And I can't wait to see this new show because I've been following your work and sharing all those birds all over the place. So, again, this is Stan Peterson. Is Out on the Limb also the name of the show?
That's the name of the show because there's a lot of beechwood that I found that are limbs of trees that I've cut and used as pedestals for birds.
Ah, good,
so,
good.
So you'll find some. I use milk paint on those found beechwood, so they get transformed.
Beautiful. The art walk in Astoria is noon to 8 these days, but Stan, I understand you will be at Imogen from 4 to 7. Does that sound right? Okay. So folks can meet you.
I may get there a little before and stay a little after, and I look forward to chatting with visitors.
Great. Okay. Thank you so much for joining me, and maybe I'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks, Carol. Okay. I hope to see you.
And
okay.
Fly safely. Okay.
And take good care. Okay.
Bye-bye. Stan Peterson at Imogen Gallery. And I've got 21 venues with art for tomorrow. I'm probably not going to have time to tell you about them. So you can check Coast Weekend, possibly Hipfish as well, and just get out there and there'll be maps and you can find them. And now we have a particular piece of music while we reach our next guest. And this is very exciting news. There has been a big victory for our region. The climate victory over the world's largest fracked gas refinery, the methanol refinery and export proposal in Kalama, has been terminated. NWIW abandoned it. And the lease is terminated. This is a huge victory for Columbia River Keeper, for all the people of Kalama and everywhere else who went to hearings and shut this down. One more victory. And yes, I will do a disclaimer. I speak on behalf of myself and all those who care about our environment, our earth, our communities. So let's hear. It's from a YouTube. This was kind of the work that was done to build up to this victory.
Well, Kalama's real pretty on the riverside. If you haven't seen it yet, you should take a ride. The rivers flow by on the north and the west. People of Kalama are truly the best, but Kalama has a problem they can't solve alone. We have to stop it from becoming a disaster zone. Northwest Innovation Works has a bad plan to build the world's largest fracked gas to methanol plant. Let's save Kalama from a calamity. Let's work together to save the birds and bees, protect the water and the air we breathe, to keep it safe for all the critters and our families. The Trump administration is a dangerous lot, pushing dirty fossil fuels with everything that they've got. Northwest Innovation Works sold a story about displacing greenhouse gases in a blaze of glory. But the people know better and we're on to their lies. We won't let them claim our homes like they're some sort of prize. Together we're stronger and we won't back down until we're safe from dirty fuels in every city and town. Let's save Kalama from a calamity. Let's work together to save the birds and bees, protect the water and the air we breathe, to keep it safe for all the critters and our families. hope by now you're wondering what you can do to make sure the story ends the way it's supposed to. I'm happy to report it's your lucky day. There's a hearing coming up and it's the time to say, let's say calamity from a calamity.
Yeah. Isn't that something, folks? You just never know when the good news is going to come in. That good news just came in at 1 o'clock this afternoon, breaking news. So I'm happy to be able to share it with you. More healing for our planet as well as us. And some more folks who are doing fabulous work across the river from where I sit in the parking lot of KMUN with my buddy Nevada inside the studio and me in the car. I don't know how long that's going to continue, but it's been quite an experience. So over the bridge to Washington, you come into the area that is just opening up. It's the gateway to the peninsula. And very exciting news. The Sou'wester is opening, or maybe has already opened, an arts and ecology center right there at the gateway. Tondi Rosenbaum is here to tell us about it. Hi, Tondi.
Hi, Carol.
Hey, glad you're here. And with Tondi is Allie Bruiser, and Allie is going to be running their, their opening event for this venue, an outdoor arts summer camp. Hi, Allie.
Hi there, Carol.
And Allie, I haven't done this in a year and a half, but I'm going to do it with you. Allie is a KMUN and a radio virgin. So congratulations, Allie.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Good, good. So, Tondi, how did this happen? What's going on? And a brand new venue, and it's not even right where the Sou'wester is in Seaview.
This has been a beautiful property for a long time. Dirk Swearingen ran his photographic studio out of it, and our own art program has just been expanding and needing a little bit more room. And so it seems like a really great place to be able to expand into. We're super excited about it. It's based on the idea that relearning how to use hand tools is really important, both for kids and adults. And so we're hoping to have just a really analog studio that is populated with amazing artists and educators who can lead these great classes that we have, workshops.
So
coming up.
Is this going to be like a year-round? I mean, this is...
Yeah, I think it is. We're kicking off with a summer camp program, but we're going to transition to an after-school program.
Oh, good. Very
when
nice.
When school season returns.
Right.
Its basis is as a teaching residency.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a way to really like cross-fertilize and pollinate.
Mm-hmm.
An interchange where we can bring in teachers and educators to the area. So it's going to be like a constantly revolving inflection of different amazing ideas, you know, cutting edge artists. Visions.
Well, I love that it's the Arts and Ecology Center, and I just gave us some brand new good news about our local ecology with the folding.
I heard that.
Yes, very exciting. So it's good to hear that this new space is dedicated to combining these healing arts. So, Allie, who are you? You and I haven't met in person yet, so where'd you come from to be running this outdoor arts summer camp?
Yeah, so I am the director of the Sou'wester Arts and Ecology Summer Camp.
Mm-hmm.
Formerly, I have been working with kids in a variety of contexts and spaces for basically over 10 years. It started in New Orleans, actually. I was working on a DIY skate park project under a freeway overpass because there was no skate park in New Orleans at all. To address that need, a group of friends and myself decided to build a skate park, and local kids got involved and helped us shovel dirt and float concrete. And from there, I decided that I wanted to continue working with kids.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I pursued a degree in teaching and have been a classroom teacher. And most recently, I taught an elementary school art program that actually integrated science and social justice issues in our art project. So, getting involved at the Sou'wester just seemed like a really natural next step.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a perfect fit, actually.
Yeah.
So this camp is, you both mentioned children, but actually this camp is for children and for adults. Am I right?
Yeah, that's correct. So we are, the camp starts on June 22nd, and the workshops are going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Mm-hmm. And each of those days, the morning session from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. is for youth. And in the afternoon, it's going to be an adult program from 3 to 5:30 with open studio hours in addition to that at the end. So, yeah, there's both a youth and adult programming, and we're hoping to even launch programming in the fall where we have youth and adults learning alongside each other.
Yeah, I was wondering because I read some of the artists you have leading these classes sound phenomenal, and what they're offering and the photographs of their own work or the work that their students have done is fabulous. Can you give people a link or how they can find this camp online so they can both sign up and see what it's the details?
Of course, yeah. We have a great lineup of artists teaching ceramics, fiber arts, animation, muraling, paint making, and so much more. And if you want to learn more about it, you can go to sou'westerlodge.com/camp.
Okay, that's easy.
Done. I'll also add that June 27th, we're having an open house and fundraiser. And so if anybody's curious about checking out the space, coming to see some good music, fun kids and adults art activities, they are welcome to. It's Sunday the 27th from 3 to 7.
Okay, this is at the Arts and Ecology Center.
Correct, which is right at the entrance of Seaview.
Okay, and it
just a block from the Sou'wester.
It used to be the English Gardens, is that right?
Correct.
They were
English Nursery.
English Nursery, yeah. So some local people may be aware of that. Fantastic. And is there a time when, because I think of youth as, I don't know, teenagers kind of, but you're allowing kids as young as 7, is that true?
Correct.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And, Allie, did you coordinate this, or where did you two find all these fabulous artists?
Tondi and I have been going back and forth, and she has a lot of connection just through running workshops at the Sou'wester in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of drew from that pool of books and asked those artists to reach out to their networks. And it was really important to us to have a variety of teaching artists and also teaching artists who were really passionate about their work and doing super creative things with tools and using their hands and exploring different mediums. So
I
found them.
I'm very excited about the Outdoor Arts Summer Camp and about this Arts and Ecology Center and how you plan to use it in the coming year and years. And so, folks, even if you can't get to this, now the the camp starts, you said, I think June 22nd, but it goes on for several weeks, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. It goes on for 10 weeks. So if you don't get a chance to sign up for this first round of workshops, then you can sign up for one later on in the summer. It goes till August 26th. So all through the summer, we'll be hosting great workshops.
Okay, folks, Sou'wester Lodge, that's Sou'wester Lodge.com/camp. And if you don't know anything about that area, this is a fabulous way to be introduced. And as Tandy mentioned, it's only a block away. Just walk up the road and you get to the Sou'wester, which is filled with, including music every Saturday night, including this Saturday night. And it's a wonderful historic space. And I'm looking forward, maybe later in the summer, we can hear back from both of you and hear how it's been going and what else is planned for the space. So thank you so much. Anything else? Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Carol. It's also going to be a gallery, and so there'll be some interesting shows there this summer as well. Stay tuned.
Fantastic. Okay, I think the best thing is to go to the website, or just head over there. It's not very far from Astoria. It's even closer when you're on the peninsula. Thank you so much, Allie Bruiser and Tandy Rosenbaum from the Sou'wester Lodge in Seaview, and now the Arts and Ecology Center as well. Okay.
Thank you, Carol.
Right. And this is Arts Live and Local.